BBC News.
With Lisa Costello.
Staying up for that 2 a.m. kickoff. Truly believing this is our year.
Genuinely do not think I've seen a better goal. Wow!
And re-watching goals from every angle.
Mbappe is there, Mbappe again, and again!
Football history won't just happen on the pitch.
That is incredible.
It's happening right now with all of us.
You can't get this anywhere else.
Be part of every moment from the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Let's make it iconic.
Watch on iPlayer.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Later this evening here on Radio 4, Farlon 4 Investigates is asking, should the Church of England pay for its links to slavery? That's at 8 o'clock. Now...
This is One Person Found This Helpful with me, Frank Skinner. Hello. Yes. Welcome to One Person Found This Helpful, the show where we look at online reviews, all genuine, including slightly unexpected reviews for slightly unexpected products, like the Booze Bra Flask. A fake hollowed-out bra which allows you to discreetly carry, it says, up to 25 fluid ounces of wine or drink of your choice. And about which someone said, fit perfectly, quality was good, great device, and best of all, arrived in time for Father's Day. Being a dad, he almost certainly said something like, my cup runneth over. Anyway, please welcome our four-star panel. On my left is Simon Evans and the Reverend Kate Botley. And on my right, Ed Byrne and Jenny Eclair. So, this being a show all about reviews, I want to start off by asking the panellists to share any memorable reviews they've had and feel happy to share with the nation, starting with Jenny.
Well, I'm going to drag you into this one, Frank, because we share a mutual shame with a sitcom that we did, I think it's about 35, 36 years ago.
Oh, that one.
I don't know whether anyone can remember it. It was awful. It was called Packet of Three. Yes,
it was
Packet
good. Of Three.
Well, that's because you were 13 at the time. And it was quite
36
rude.
Years ago, that's the first good review we've ever had.
Well, teenage boys did like it because it was quite grubby. And I remember being W.H. Smith and I saw a copy of Time Out. Do you remember Time Out? And I made the mistake of looking, and there was a big photo of me, Frank and Henry Normal, who are the stars of this brand new Channel 4 show. And then underneath, in bold letters, it said, may God forgive all those involved in this Texas-sized turkey.
Yes. I remember that review word for word.
Yeah, I've never forgotten it.
But you're still working, and Time Out is now barely a free sheet.
Yeah. That is true.
Yay.
That is true. And thanks for calling this still working. What about you, Kate? Do reverends get reviews?
Yeah, we do, unfortunately. I mean, not necessarily from the people we bury. We don't get reviews from them.
Well, no.
Not yet, anyway. I mean, the time's coming.
Oh, it'll come, as we all know.
But I once got called the Whore of Babylon in a Tesco car park.
Oh, wow.
So I had my dog collar on and a very short skirt and quite high boots. And someone shouted across the car park at me, Whore of Babylon! And so I was very upset. I found that quite upsetting. So I did go and phone Richard, my friend Richard Coles. I went and phoned him. And I sort of rang through and I went, and he went, what's the matter? I said, someone's just called me the Whore of Babylon in a Tesco car park. And he went, darling, get yourself to Waitrose immediately.
What about you, Ed?
One of the harshest reviews I've ever had was post-coital. That is not what you think. Actually, mine has a Time Out connection as well. In 1996, I was at the Edinburgh Fringe doing my first one-man show, and there was a preview thing in Time Out, and they had a photograph of me, and it was the most handsome photograph of me that has ever been printed anywhere. Like, when I looked at it, I couldn't believe it was me. They say the camera never lies. It can be economical with the truth. It's a better-looking me, a me from another handsome universe. Anyway, one night at the Edinburgh Fringe, I was with a lady who I had been seeing. She was Australian, and I feel like that just added to the tone of the way she spoke to me the next day. Because I woke up, and I just looked like I look in the morning, hair across me face, pasty, wise Irish body sprawled across her sheets, and she is sitting there with the copy of Time Out. With the handsome photograph of me in it.
And she just looks at me and goes, doesn't look like the one in the catalogue.
What about you, Simon?
I've got a photograph-related one as well, which the review element of it is implicit, I guess, but about 30 years ago, I bought my aged grandfather a photo frame for his birthday. It was a sort of gilt-edged thing from Woolworths with a large oblong aperture for the family photo and a couple of smaller ones for hopefully favoured grandsons. And it came with some demonstration photos in to show you how to use it. And I gave it to him anyway, and he seemed pleased. And I went back a couple of months later, and it was up on the mantelpiece, which was a nice touch. But he had failed to replace the demonstration photographs with people from his own family. And so I thought, oh, he's confused. He thinks it's a picture. He's supposed to know who it is. And so I explained to him very gently that this was a photo frame for him to fill with pictures from his own collection. And he explained to me very gently and patiently that he was well aware of how it was supposed to work, but he preferred this family.
Fabulous. OK, so let us begin. This round is called What Did I Buy? Online shopping is quick, convenient, and let's be honest, pretty reliable these days, although you still get the occasional old-school complaint, like this unhappy customer who said, hey, Parcel Force, the packaging wasn't sealed. Way to go, parcel up a bot worth £100 on a rainy day in some unsealed cardboard. Are you actually trying to lose customers to Amazon? You're not fit to polish Jeff Bezos's shiny bonce. So look, each team is going to hear two reviews of something you can buy online and they have to work out what it is. If they can't get it after two, I'll give them another review, but then they only get 1 point. So Simon and Kate, you're up first and here is your first review. This was the classiest of the bunch. It was a good size, lifelike, and had a certain stoicism that made me want to salute it before I bit into its ears.
Well, I've done three series now of this programme, and every single time I'm convinced it's a sex doll, but there's no...
It's high risk to bite a sex doll, in my experience.
It depends on whether it's one of the inflatable ones or one of the silicone ones.
Old school.
Yeah, old school, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like another clue?
I mean, I feel like we should make some sort of guess. It's not rabbit-based, is it?
Yeah.
It might be.
Chocolate rabbits.
I mean, you won't lose anything by hearing the second, but let's just say you're on the right lines.
Okay.
Here's your second review. This one was a bit gritty. While not bad, it definitely carried a single note, and that note was sugar. But hey, if you're a kid looking to eat 425 grams of chocolate and I don't have to babysit you, go for it.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
I've landed on it accidentally almost without circling. It is a Lindt chocolate rabbit, isn't it?
Well, it's not necessarily Lindt.
Okay. Bear in mind, this is the BBC.
Chocolate rabbits are made of
But it is indeed a chocolate Easter bunny. I don't actually know what 425 grams is. What would it be?
About the weight of your own fist.
Oh, okay.
A pack of butter is 250 grams, so it'd be twice that, wouldn't it? There or thereabouts.
Almost exactly a pound.
So a lot. Okay, thanks for this. I used to do a show called Room 101 where people came on and chose stuff they hated to go into this room. And Len Goodman from Strictly Come Dancing was on.
God rest him.
And one of the things he put in was decimalisation. Actually, also put in all foreign food. He was old school. We have a few other reviews, even though you know what it is now. What about this one? Every single example of this brand arrived broken. Giving a decapitated chocolate Easter bunny to a child can send a confusing message. I think the secret, Kate, is to show it that child on Good Friday and then bring it back complete on Easter Sunday. Do Anglicans give up stuff for Lent?
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go.
I won't ask you. I used to have a priest. I remember him saying, I know a lot of you give up chocolate and sweets for Lent. It's Lent, not Weight Watchers. Anyway, yes, they're all chocolate bunnies. Quite a few of those reviews came from a website that compares various American and Canadian brands, including one mate called, and this really doesn't sound that appealing, Mr. Solid. I also like this review from the UK of a Thornton's milk chocolate happy bunny figure, which said, one star, head of the rabbit was melted and mangled in transit. I now appear to have an Easter ferret. OK, now it's time for Ed and Jenny to hear your review. So what product merited this? Described as extra thick, not true. 4.5 mil is thin and flimsy. The worst part is the way they're packaged. They're in a tight, twisted lump inside the box. You can't pull them out individually. You have to peel them apart from the mess of a pile that they're in.
Some kind of toilet paper or wipes. Wipes? Is it wipes?
Are you thinking? 4.5 mil wide wipe?
Less of a wipe and more of a hand towel, isn't it, really?
It is. I'm told, by the way, that being peeled off from a lump is mom's net slang for getting divorced. Would you like a second review? Okay. Ideal single use for dirty work, not involving too much mechanical stress. Have on occasion had them split when pulling on a new pair, though. Cheap enough to change frequently. Shame about the environment.
Oh, plastic gloves.
It's a glove, isn't it?
It's a glove. It's a dirty job glove.
I tell you exactly what it is. Powder-free nitrile or latex gloves. Yeah. There's one very strange review. Someone says, perfect for my job as a carer and bicycle mechanic. Anyway, you can get these gloves in small, medium and large, which makes this review a bit unfortunate. My wife and I do a lot of things that require latex gloves, so we get S and M.
I was going to tell a story about having to wear a pair of these gloves, but I don't think I should.
No, I think you should.
OK. Well, I don't know whether you've ever had an operation, but I have. And they gave me really strong painkillers afterwards, really, really strong. And they said, don't take too many because you'll end up really constipated. And all I can say, it was like giving birth to a cannonball. And it was more painful than actually giving birth. And I could hear my partner coming upstairs, and I was like, don't come in! And I had a pair of these gloves, and I needed them. I had to. In the end, I couldn't even... The gloves wouldn't get it out. I had to go for a forceps delivery, and I have never used those salad servers again.
OK, so at the end of that round, Ed and Jenny are on 2 points, Simon and Kate are on 2 points. This round's called What Am I Reading? Book reviews can be brutally honest, like this one left for The Secret of Secrets by Dan Brown, and which simply says, one of Brown's best, 1 star. So I've picked a book for each team and they're going to hear some real reviews of it and they have to work out what it is. If they can't get it after two, they can have a third review for 1 point. We'll start with Ed and Jenny. Here is your first review of the book in question. As a copyright attorney, I felt compelled to read this book this year since it is entering the public domain. I was shocked because the characters are demented. Most of them wholly disregard the truth and lie endlessly, and these lies never have serious repercussions. And Blank never stops eating, no matter how much trouble it gets him in, like getting stuck in a door. Any thoughts?
Could you read it again, please, Frank?
You don't want me to read it again.
No, I couldn't hear a couple of words.
You'll find you'll get used to the accent as the night progresses.
I'm not a copyright attorney, but doesn't that make it 50 years old, is it?
I just thought it meant that it was being published for everyone to read, because I was thinking about one of the most... J.K. Rowling's first book, that one, because he ate too much food and couldn't get through a door.
Who did?
The man.
Just, oh, yeah, the man.
Just remember, we play this game with your nana. Right. It's a book, and it was written by Harry Potter.
Harry, right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Who couldn't get through a door in Harry Potter?
Dudley.
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 Yes.
Where you come from.
It is where I come from. Remember, it has demented characters.
Is it Lord of the Flies, maybe? No, there aren't any doors in Lord of the Flies. They're on an island.
I think the second review will be helpful.
OK.
Here's your second review. Do you realise how big 100 acres is? Much bigger than the map implies. Much too big for Blank, who must be, what, 6?
OK, so that's the 100-acre wood is obviously the real.
Yeah. Christopher Robin. Mm. He's 6.
What's the title?
Is it, I don't know, Winnie the Pooh?
It is Winnie the Pooh. Here's another review, just for the fun of it. If you've never read these stories cover to cover, do yourself a favour and get yourself as cosy as possible and crack it open. Unashamed to admit I was crying over a fictional donkey toy's birthday gifts.
Aww, that's very sweet.
Yeah, I got physically aroused by a life-size Lego model of Rey from Star Wars, so anything's possible. That was a true story. I should give you the details, actually. Winnie the Pooh by A.M. Milne, written in 1926. The main character's slightly odd name, as you can imagine, preoccupied a lot of reviewers, although presumably not this person who was oblivious to all that. And they wrote, "A cosy read, perfect for tea time, where I particularly enjoyed poo floating on a barrel of honey." That was from Heston Blumenthal. Simon and Kate, so here's some reviews, and you've got to guess your book. So here's the first one. "Lots of crazy monsters, and I love monsters, but one star because Christianity."
So it's the Bible?
Not the Bible. You're going to have to be more specific
the Bible.
Than that.
Well, it's a good guess. This is your territory. What's got Christianity and monsters? Narnia. That has monsters.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
They're not really monsters, though. They're like talking beavers and stuff.
One of my favourite things about being in parish is when we have, like, the scouts and the guides in church. They come into church for, like, their parade services. And every single time I stand at the front and go, "Can we have all the beavers out, please?" It makes me laugh every time.
It must be great when you get a big laugh.
It's great!
Yeah. My parish priest, he's very funny bloke. And about 2 weeks ago, he said, I had to do an exorcism this week. And I think we all looked a bit shocked. And he said, "Who are you going to call?" Okay, second review. This will definitely help. "After working one's way through most of the New Testament, it's easy to forget the vengeful, bloodthirsty character once known as God, the main act of the Old. But then comes the Bible's grand finale, and suddenly God is back in full action hero mode, raining destruction across creation like Michael Bay directing scripture. The details are strikingly concrete. Plagues, beasts, fire, blood, and even oddly specific stage directions, like there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, which is quite unusual for a gay club.
It's not the Bible, is it?
Well, it sounds like it's the little-known third book of the Bible, like the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then
and the Apocrypha, the middle one.
That would be quite a big call, wouldn't it, that they would think we'd ever heard of that?
Well, they would think that I'd heard of it, surely. Oh, is it a specific book of the Bible are we talking about? I'm going to go with the Book of Revelation.
You're spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, as it says here, the last chapter of the New Testament and the one with all the 666 stuff and dragons coming out of the sea. Or as one reviewer on Goodreads put it, Revelations is laden with apocalyptic visions and ends with the second coming. And what's brilliant is the website has put, "This review contains spoilers." someone listened to an audiobook version. This has dragons, beasts, and the Whore of Babylon. Great sound effects. Okay, at the end of that round, Ed and Jenny are on 4 points, Simon and Kate are on 4 points. It's tight. Okay, this next round's called Did You Keep the Receipt? The internet has all sorts of strange corners where you can't actually believe this stuff is on sale, let alone actively bought by anyone, like this. It's a perfume, which is okay, but it's called, and I'm not kidding, Funeral Note. And one reviewer has listed some pros and cons, which include pros: nostalgic scent reminiscent of nursing homes and funeral bouquets. And perfect for goth and alternative styles. Cons: may evoke feelings of sadness or mortality. May remind some of sterile solvents and formaldehyde. But best of all, someone has commented that the fragrance contains woody notes, and someone said, "Yeah, that's the coffin." So, teams, it's a gift to me, the most extraordinary things you've seen on sale, and I want reviews as well, if possible. And we'll start with Ed. What have you found?
Frank, could I interest you in a pair of lightsaber chopsticks? They actually light up. The end of them, it looks like a lightsaber, and then when you press a button and they light up. There's a couple of one-star reviews.
One star, use the fork.
Somebody else has said, the idea to eat with lightsaber chopsticks was the main reason I bought these. Thank you for that window into your buying them. Yeah, so yeah, that's would you be interested in them?
Oh, they're fantastic. My son actually collects lightsabers. He's got about 9 different ones. And my wife was tidying them up, and she said, oh, God, how many of these space sticks has he got? One for the Star Wars one. So, Kate, what did you find?
The sexy priest's calendar. 12 pictures of celibate men. So I particularly like Mr. March. He's lovely. Sorry, Father March. He's particularly nice. So somebody has put on one of the reviews, the calendar was made with excellent print quality and materials, which I think is missing the point of a sexy priest calendar. Somebody else was very cross that they thought it was a fake calendar. So they said, all the pictures are AI generated. If I wanted a calendar with AI generated photos, I'd save the $26 and make my own. And I might just do that.
What about you, Jenny?
It's a chicken harness, hen-sized, with a 6-foot matching leash. So it's like a thing that you strap your fowl into. They're for indoor chickens and roosters and things like that. But obviously, you know, in the reviews, somebody's written in and said, I took my cock out in the park.
Of course they have.
And got banned for life. So.
Simon, what have you found?
I found online from Costco, an American supermarket, I think, an 80-pound Parmesan. Like, absolutely vast, like one of those curling stones, even bigger. Costs $1,099. And several people are on their fourth or fifth of them. There's one review, I've eaten 4 of these and I can't wait to purchase my fifth. My husband and I both have large extended families, which could be read in one or two ways, certainly. This made a fantastic gift for my wife's birthday. She loves Parmesan. So with the total wheel weighing in at 87 pounds, we're set for at least a few weeks. Obviously,
wow.
They build them differently in America, and we've got to bear that in mind. And it's a cultural difference, I want to emphasise, and the individual people are not to blame, but still,
I mean, they were all brilliant. I mean, everyone gets a point. Because of my love of Star Wars, I have to give it to Ed for the... I really want to get some of those. They sound fantastic.
OK, so. But I warn you, from one review, can't even wash them because of electronics.
Yeah, well, I won't be washing them. OK, this next round's called Where on Earth Are We? And it's about holidays and travel. And, of course, any big trip involves a stay in a hotel where sometimes it's hard to tell who's more at fault, the building or the reviewer. Like this one. The heating didn't work. It was blowing cold air all night, even though I got up twice to turn it off. It somehow turned itself back on. Even my high volume of bodily gases was not enough to fill the room with sufficient heat. I purposely aimed to release as much methane as possible just to get one over the hotel. But it must have been absorbed by the curtains. So, Simon and Kate, you're going to hear a couple of reviews of a tourist attraction. Here is the first one. The building, if you can even call it that, is a mishmash of styles that is claimed to be based on nature. The laugh is on us because it's the most unnatural building I have ever seen. It looks like something created by Dr. Seuss. So a building that looks like it's designed by Dr. Seuss. Maybe the cathedral in the hathedral.
The cathedral in the hathedral. Yes. That cat in the hat, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for helping.
Funny you said that, because that was the thing I was thinking of, is that cathedral in Barcelona.
Sagrada Familia, like, that's what I thought as well.
We're going to go with that, Sagrada Familia.
OK. Did the producer have a word with you about not getting them straight away?
Oh, sorry. But we're a bit competitive.
Is it the...
No, you're absolutely...
Hagia Sophia.
No, don't patronise me. You're absolutely right. It is the Sagrada Familia, the Holy Family, begun by architect Antoni Gaudi in 1882 and still unfinished. Would you like to hear some reviews that you don't need?
Mm. Yeah.
Here goes. There was a problem with the timings on our tickets and the person on the door was downright rude and unhelpful. And Tony Gowdy died in 1926 when he was knocked down by a number 30 tram. Going by this guy's behaviour, he was probably the grandson of the man driving it. Another review? Unimpressed, eyesore, ugly. Someone should have stopped Gowdy before building this monstrosity. Been three times. OK, let's see how Ed and Jenny get on with their destination. Here's your first review. Listen right now. This was a school trip and we saw children much younger there. That's fine. What wasn't fine was we saw male parts, a lot of them, and also chests.
Is it Florence? You know, the statue of David?
It's an art gallery. Like I should think it's an art gallery somewhere.
Mm.
I mean, it could be the National Museum in London, the big one.
Does that have as many male bits, though?
That's got some cockage and breastage. But, I mean, is it paintings or sculptures?
Well, if you hear the next one, it might help a little. Overall, though, this visit just reinforced what I originally thought about modern art when I first visited years ago. You can't polish a turd, even when it's gold-plated, and yes, there is one of those in the gallery's collection.
Do you know what? I really hate people that hate modern art.
Me too.
It makes my fists clench and I want to punch them in the face.
Many, many years ago, I was walking over Waterloo Bridge and a naked bicycle ride came over. And yeah. There was all these people with no clothes on. I didn't know what the purpose of it was, but there was something very liberating and brave and different about it. And there was a man standing with his wife and two kids and he went, weirdos. And I thought, in life, you have to decide whether you're on the bike naked or whether you're standing with that bloke. Yeah. I'm on the bike.
I'm on your crossbars and I'm naked too, Frank.
OK. I mean, we might have to get rid of this bike after. We could boil it, I suppose.
Or use some of those gloves.
Exactly, there is the gloves.
It causes you to ask questions. I once went to a thing called the Affordable Art Fair.
Oh, yes.
And that really made one look at things like, what really is affordable?
Affordable, yeah.
And what really is art? And what really is fair?
I think we're going to go with Tate Modern.
It is Tate Modern. Well done. We have the final scores. Oh, no, Ed and Jenny are on 8, but Simon and Kate are on 8. Hey. Now, before we go, I just have to read you one more review we found on TripAdvisor about the Sagrada Familia. And it's more someone complaining about the fact that you can only book online even when you're there in person. And he says, I'm a tourist visiting from Montreal, Canada, and I was planning on visiting yesterday, but when I got there, I found out it not only didn't accept cash payments, but even forced customers to book their tickets online. You should be ashamed of forcing down people's throats the modern technologies that have already had an alarming sick stranglehold on modern society. What you're selling is a technology-dependent lifestyle, which science clearly shows leads to a variety of mental issues and alienation, isolation, depression disorders. I voiced my view to an employee at the Basilica and he fully agreed with me and suggested I send an email. Thank you very much. Good night.
One Person Found This Helpful was hosted by Frank Skinner and starred Simon Evans, the Reverend Kate Botley, Ed Byrne and Jenny Eclair, and was written by Frank Skinner, Catherine Brinkworth, Sarah Dempster, Jason Hazley, Cole Minns, Katie Sayer and Peter Talouche. The show was devised by Jason Hazley and Simon Evans with the producer David Tyler, and it was a Positive production for BBC Radio 4.
On BBC Radio 4.
These girls need to feel they are coached by somebody that they can relate to.
I'm Tony Hawks, and in my new series, I'm asking if it's getting harder to get out to play.
It says I need to go online, pay, and then I'll get an access code.
You know, if you put a barrier in the way, that does reduce the number of people prepared to access it.
From wild places, green space, to our rivers, lakes, and our cities.
What's special still about this space is that it is free, that you can just walk in.
Tony Hawks Just Wants to Play on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Next Monday to Friday at 1:45.
This is BBC Radio 4. In a couple of minutes, Alistair has his work cut out and disaster strikes for David in The Archers. That's after the news.